present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with Terence Alexander, Julia Lockwood, and Bridget Armstrong. Episode 3, Statistics, featuring this week's guest stars, John LeMessurier and Richard Bottis.
Roger.
Why are you sitting there groaning like a grampus?
They don't.
What?
Grampuses don't groan, they puff.
All right, why are you puffing? Incidentally, what is a grampus?
Well, it's a... You know, everyone knows that.
Well, I don't. What is it?
I don't know.
Roger, for heaven's sake, just because you've no work at the moment, there's no need to succumb to this grampus syndrome.
It isn't the lack of work so much.
Well, it's not work, it's not health. You've been crossed in love, is that it?
Double cross, actually. There are two girls in my life.
Is one of them Sally?
Yes.
And she stood you up?
No, I stood her up. Stood them both up, together, actually.
Together? What on earth did you do that for?
It's a long story.
Yeah, well, don't tell me then. Look, I'm terribly sorry you two are all washed up.
You don't sound very sorry.
Oh, it's an ill wind.
Where you going?
It's been a long, hard day. I thought a cosy little dinner for two.
Oh, no, thanks, Henry. I couldn't eat a thing, really. I couldn't. Do you think I ought to keep up my strength, though? You think? Henry, where are you? Henry! What do you mean a cosy little dinner for two?
Henry!
Oh, it's you.
Sally, where is he?
Who?
Henry.
Roger, where do you think you're going? I didn't ask you in.
Isn't he here?
No, he rang up.
The telephone. That was devilish clever.
Roger, do stop puffing.
It's the grampus syndrome. Sally, you know everything. What is a grampus?
Kind of whale.
Sally, if that's Henry, send him away.
It isn't. It's Mother. I'm going out with her this evening.
Oh, well, tomorrow then?
We'll see. Ring me up sometime when you're sure there isn't a double booking.
That will never happen again. You must believe me.
Roger, let go of me. Hmm? I can't keep Mother waiting any longer.
Morning, Roger. Your troubles are over.
How do you know?
I've been chatting up your girlfriend. She's in the pupils' room.
Sally?
No, Joy.
Ha ha, very funny.
Oh, she's quite a dish, isn't she?
Well, in a strictly physical sense. Henry, she's not really here.
In a strictly physical sense, yes.
What does she want?
As if you didn't know. Why don't you give her a break and forget about Sally?
That would be very convenient for you, wouldn't it?
That'd be very convenient all round.
Except I'm not remotely interested in Joy.
Not even in a strictly physical sense?
Well, perhaps there are times when one's baser nature comes to the surface and Henry, I won't see her. I can't. Get rid of her.
Sorry, I've got to see Grimes. And you wouldn't thank me if I did. She's brought you a present.
There's nothing she could possibly give me that would have the slightest influence on me. What is it?
She'll tell you. Now go on, there's no one else in the pupils' room, so make the most of it. In a strictly physical sense.
Now, Joy, this is not good enough.
Darling Roger.
I'm not your darling Roger. Now you listen to me, Joy.
Come closer, darling, then you won't have to shout.
Now, Joy, you listen to me. Now, you listen to me, Joy.
I'm listening.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I expect you were going to say, this is where you work, and it's very naughty of me to come and waste your time.
Thank you. Joy, this is where I work, and it's very naughty of you.
But, Roger, I didn't come to see you.
What?
Well, of course, I hoped to see you while I was here, but I'm really only a messenger. I brought something to your clerk.
To Alec? What on earth is it?
Can't you guess, darling? Something for you.
Ah, the present.
In a way, it's a brief.
I don't care what it is. It won't make any difference. A brief? What do you mean? Well, you can't brief counsel?
No, but my uncle can.
Your uncle? He's a solicitor?
Alfred Merivale of Thornton, Merivale and Co.
And he's sent me a brief?
Yes, darling. He likes to encourage clever young barristers. At least he does when I ask him.
Sure, I don't know what to say.
You could thank me.
Thank you.
Properly.
There's someone might come in.
Not if we lean on the door.
No, we shouldn't. No, I really don't think we... Well, perhaps in a strictly physical...
Darling Roger.
Joy, you mustn't think. Just because I...
Darling, wait till you stop puffing.
It's that grampus syndrome again.
What is a grampus, Roger? Do you know?
Well, of course I know. It's a sort of whale.
Oh, you're so clever, darling. You know everything.
Well, one has to be well informed in this profession.
Bless you. I won't keep you from your work any longer. I expect you've lots to do.
Well, one keeps busy, you know.
And I expect Uncle Alfred will send you lots more after you win this case.
If I win it. What is the case, John?
I don't know, but it's in the Northwestern County Court, and I'll be there to hear you.
No!
Don't worry, darling, I won't open my mouth this time.
Joy, please, I'd rather you didn't come.
I can't put it off now. Dear Henry's promised to take me.
Who?
Mr. Blakerope.
Dear Henry? You've only just met him.
I know a dear Henry when I see one. Goodbye for now, darling. Good luck, and don't work too hard.
I say, dear Henry, I mean Henry.
Yes?
You know about racing, don't you?
As much as the next man.
Well, I'm the next man, I don't know a thing.
Well, what's the problem?
Well, my man swinged the other chap because he won on the races. But you can't sue for bets, can you?
No, of course not.
I knew you couldn't.
Then why ask?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that, you see. My man says that he and the defendant agreed to operate a system.
Oh, I know those systems.
Well, look, wait a minute. Look, he says they won with this one, but the defendant's sticking to the money.
Oh, that's different. That's not a bet. Of course your chap can sue if the other fellow really had the money and if there really was an agreement to share, but can you prove it?
Well, I suppose it rather depends on who the judge believes.
In that case, I'd say your best bet is to try and persuade the other side to settle.
Out of court?
Of course. Do you know who's against you?
It's a chap called Trent.
Oh, he won't settle, not if he thinks he's got half a defence. On the other hand, with Trent against you, you've a fair chance of winning against the odds.
Why, is he pretty bad?
No, he's very good. He's too good, in fact.
How can anyone be too good?
Well, he drives the judges up the wall. He's always telling them what the law is.
Oh, does he always know?
Mostly, yes. Tony Trent's usually right. And judges don't like being taught their business. Well, you'll be all right, Roger. You'll find a judge eating out of your hand. Do you know, I've actually seen a look of real hatred on a judge's face as he addressed Mr. Trent. I'm looking forward to this.
It won't do, see? It doesn't make sense.
Your Honor?
Yes, Mr. Trent, what is it now?
Your Honor was suggesting to the witness that he's talking nonsense.
Yes, well, so he is.
On the contrary, it is Your Honor who is in error.
I don't like your addressing me in that way.
I don't like having to do it, Your Honor.
Perhaps I can help, Your Honor.
Well, can you understand what Mr. Trent is getting at, Mr. Thursby?
I've no idea, Your Honor.
Yes, well, that makes two of us.
I need hardly remind Your Honor that victory does not necessarily go to the big battalion.
Well, I need hardly remind you, Mr. Trent, that I'm here to try the case, not to win it.
But Your Honor associated yourself with Mr. Thursby, who is here to win it. Shall we proceed with the witnesses?
Well, are you presiding at this trial, or am I, Mr. Trent? No, Mr. Trent? Mr. Trent, would you kindly answer the question?
I thought it was a rhetorical question, Your Honor, requiring no answer.
When I require no answer, Mr. Trent, I won't ask the question. Let us deal with the witness's statement.
If I can help, Your Honor.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thursby.
As a matter of fact, I was addressing Your Honor.
Well, sit down, Mr. Trent. I want to hear what Mr. Thursby has to say. Do you mind?
Yes, Mr. Thursby. Your Honor, the witness said that he'd backed a horse which won at 4-1.
Oh.
But the bookmaker cheated him out of £1.
Mm-hmm.
Then Your Honor asked him how much the bookmaker gave him, and he said £4. And Your Honor said, that's right, isn't it? 4 times 1 is 4. But the witness still said he was cheated. It was then that Your Honor said he was talking nonsense. May I very respectfully agree with Your Honor?
Thank you, Mr. Thursby.
May I, less respectfully as far as Mr. Thursby is concerned, say that he is talking nonsense?
Well, that means I am too.
Your Honor said it.
How dare you, Mr. Trent?
What have I done, Your Honor?
You said I was talking nonsense.
Oh, indeed not, Your Honor. It was Your Honor who said that. As a matter of fact, I have a shorthand note, Your Honor. It
yes,
says
well,
that...
Never mind your shorthand note, Mr. Trent. Just get on with it, will you, for heaven's sake. If you still maintain that the witness was talking sense, Mr. Trent, what is your explanation?
The explanation, Your Honor, is perfectly simple, and the witness would have given it, had he been allowed the opportunity. When the bet was placed, the witness gave the bookmaker the stake money, namely £1.
Mm.
So that when the witness won the bet, the bookmaker ought to have given him not £4, but £5. But bookmaker did as many bookmakers do. When the witness came to collect his winnings, full of joy, and thinking that 4-1 was a very nice price, the bookmaker asked him how much he wanted, and the witness, who was not a racing man, knowing that he had won £4, asked for £4, forgetting his stake money of £1. In this way, some bookmakers make quite a bit on the side.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand a thing about bookmakers or racing. How on earth am I to adjust this case without some knowledge of the turf?
Perhaps Your Honour would like to adjourn the case so that you can attend the race speech.
Yes, well, it's not often that I find myself in agreement with you, Mr. Trent, but I think that's a very good idea. Very good indeed. What do you think, Mr. Thursby?
If Your Honour thinks it's a good idea, I think it's a good idea, Your Honour.
And if Your Honour would like it, I would take it upon myself to instruct you in the ways of the racing fraternity.
I would like few things less, Mr. Trent. I will go on my own account. Is there a meeting tomorrow?
Yes, Your Honour. At Kempton.
Day at the races, Sally. Kempton Park tomorrow. What do you say?
I didn't know you were a racing man, Roger.
I'm not, but I've got a... It's that case I was telling you about. You see, as long as the judge knew nothing and I knew nothing, that made two of us. But if Trent turns the judge into another expert, that'll make two of them. You see, it's like this.
All right, Roger, I get the point. Of course you'll have to go. And if you're sure you haven't asked anyone else, I'd love to go with you. I've been thinking, dear Henry. Roger will have to go too.
Yes, dear Joy, but if you were thinking of going with him, you're too late. I happen to be speaking to Sally on the telephone, and it seems he's taking her.
Then, why don't you and I go together?
There's nothing I'd like more, but I'm not sure I can spare the time.
You can spare the time. And we don't have to stay together, dear Henry. It's extraordinary how one bumps into people at race meetings.
Dear Joy, what a girl you are. All this and low cunning, too. Kempton Park it is.
Roger, this is fun. I hope we get a lot more cases like this.
You wouldn't if you knew.
Knew what?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Oh, good Lord, look. There's Henry, isn't it? Yes, yes, it is. Oi, Henry! Do you see, Sally? It's Henry with some girl or other.
Yes, Roger. I see.
What? Oh, no. We can't.
Another double booking?
What? No, I didn't know she was going to be here. I swear I didn't.
Roger, darling. There you are at last. Hello, Sarah. Good afternoon, Joyce. Nice to see you, Henry.
Yeah, nice to see you, Sally.
What a crowd. Have you been looking for me long, Roger?
Not long. What? No. Looking for you at all. I didn't know you were coming.
You might have guessed. After all, I was in court and saw what happened. Pity you couldn't be there, Sarah.
I'm not sure I like the atmosphere on the course. Sally, why don't we go over to the paddock and look at the horses?
Thank you, Henry. It would be a great relief to look at the horses.
Sally. Sally, don't go.
Don't worry, darling. Dear Henry can look after himself. Roger, there's the judge. Now's your chance.
Chance for what?
Talk to him before that awful Trent man turns up. Give him some winners.
I don't know what's going to win.
I do. At least Uncle Alfred told me. And I've got a marked card. You take it.
Well, what's the point?
Don't be silly, darling. If you give the judge some good tips and he makes money, he'll be prejudiced in your favour.
Good afternoon, Thursby.
Oh, hello, Judge. May I introduce Miss Joy Merrivale, Judge McLaren.
How do you do?
How do you do?
What do you fancy for this race, Judge McLaren?
Well, I don't fancy any of them, Miss Merrivale, but as I'm here, I thought I might risk £1 on the favourite.
Well, if you want to lose your money, but Roger's got a certainty for this one.
Oh, have you, Thursby?
Have I, Joy?
On the card.
On the card, Judge.
Oh, I see, but what's the animal's name?
Animal. Oh, horse. Hang on, just a minute. Now, let me see. Capsule.
Capsule? Well, why not? One horse is the same as another to me. If you advise it, Thursby, I'll put my £1 on Capsule.
You won't regret it. Go and make the bet for him, Roger.
What? Well, oh, yes, yes, right. You leave it to me, Judge. I'll get you the pretty best odds.
Good afternoon, Judge. I don't suppose you remember me, Blagrove.
Oh, indeed, I remember. Skinner and the Upchurch India Rubber Company.
What a memory.
Yeah, well, he made a memorable ass of himself. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, Blagrove. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, why not, Judge? It's true. This is Sally Mannering, Judge McLaren.
How do you do?
What are you doing in the next race, Judge McLaren?
Well, doing all I know. I'm doing nothing, Miss Mannering. As a matter of fact, I'm only here as a spectator.
Good afternoon, Judge.
Oh, it's you, is it, Trent?
Blagrove, ladies.
Yes, Sally Mannering, Joy Merrivale, Tony Trent.
Well, I expect you want to know what's going to win.
Well, I imagine everybody wants to know that, Trent.
You're learning, Judge.
Do you know, Mr. Trent?
Barring remote accidents.
I take it you've got a system.
Certainly not, Blagrove. Systems are all nonsense. But work it out on scientific principles, and you can't go wrong. What I mean is, if you know what's happened in the past, you know what's going to happen in the future.
Are you suggesting that horses study precedence?
No, Judge. I'm suggesting you should study statistics.
I see.
Now, take this race. There's a horse running that's never won a race before. It's been out 5 times, not even placed.
Then I presume you discount that one.
Oh, on the contrary, Jared. I look at the horse's breeding.
Well, how do you do that?
In this book, Jared, and never without it. Now, this is a 5 furlong race, and I find that the horse's sire was fair trial, a great sire of winners up to a mile. Mm-hmm. Then I look for the sire of the dam, and what do I find? Panorama, one of the greatest sires of sprinters. And the result? A perfect combination of breeding for a 5 furlong race. Apart from the odd exception.
Well, how do you know this one isn't an exception, if it's run 5 times without winning? You'd have said it was bound to win its 5th race, but it lost.
True. I would have said so. But past statistics show that on an average, horses of a particular combination of breeding win for the first time within their 3 races. Accordingly, if they don't win in their 3 races, the chances of winning in the 4th are greatly increased. In the 5th, even more. And the 6th is as near a certainty as doesn't matter. Unless it's going to turn out to be an exception to the rule.
There's one thing you've left out, Trent.
Have I? I don't think so.
The name of the horse.
Oh, yes, yes. It's called Fairview. There it is now. Not much to look at, I agree. But if that horse doesn't win this race or the next, I'll eat my hat.
If it's in the next race as well, it'll be terribly tired, won't it?
No, I mean its next race. Anyway, I advise you all to back it. It'll be a complete outsider. You'll get very good odds.
Well, I've been advised to back a horse named Capsule.
Capsule, Judge? Who gave you that?
Thursby. He seemed very confident.
Doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, anyway, we shall see.
What do you think, Sally? Shall we do Fairview?
Wouldn't it be rude to Mr. Trent not to?
No, I shan't take offence. I never take offence. Look at the things judges sometimes say to me. I never mind. But if you want to get on, you better hurry.
All right, I'll put a pound on between us, Sally. What about you, Joy?
No, thank you, Henry.
Don't seem to have much confidence in me, Miss Merivale.
Have you backed Fairview yourself, Mr. Trent?
Certainly not. I never bet. I just like to know that I'm right.
Yes, Trent. I've noticed that.
I don't understand. Where are all the horses going?
Hmm? Up to the start, Judge.
Yes, well, I can't see them properly from there.
I can never see them either till it's almost too late. But I've brought my little radio. We'll be able to hear how they're going.
Oh, Thursby. I believe they're just going to start. Have you placed the bet?
All in order, Judge. Capsule at 3-1. All on, Sally. Fairview, 20-1.
I told you it'd be long odds. No one's backing it. If you'd done it on the totes, you might have got 100-1.
Why on earth didn't you say so before? Listen, I think they're under orders.
And the white flag's up and they're under starter's orders and they're off. And they're all away to a good start. Oh, no, one of them hasn't started at all. I think it's Fairview. Yes, it is Fairview. But the others are making a pretty good gallop. Borderland's leading. They've run 2 furlongs now.
W-R-S-T-N-P.
I beg your pardon.
I'll tell you afterwards. Occupine's making up ground very quickly. Capsule is tucked nicely in behind. 3 furlongs and still Borderland's going very easily. Now, Nancy's Pride is making a run and Downtown. The 4th furlong mark, still Borderlands, then Capsule. Downtown coming up in the 3rd place. 100 yards to go, and now Capsule's making a late challenge. Yes, it's going to be Capsule. No, Borderlands fighting back. Capsule's fading now. Borderlands has gone clear again. Passing the post out. And it's Borderlands by nearly a length, with Capsule 2nd and Downtown 3rd.
Sorry about Capsule, Judge.
Why? The 2nd?
But I didn't back it each way.
What? You mean I've lost everything?
It was only a pound, Judge. And Capsule very nearly won. Mr. Trent's horse didn't even start.
Yeah, what about that, eh, Trent?
No, just one of those things that would happen today. Been a certainty if it had started.
What was it you said at the beginning? WRNS or something?
WRSTNP. Whipped round a start, took no part. I must find out when it's running again. Well, he can't lose next time out, or my statistics are nonsense.
Have you ever considered that possibility, Trent?
No, Judge, because it isn't a possibility.
Well, it's no good going on about that race. What about the next one?
Well, if you give me a minute, I'll look it up.
Roger, you tell the judge.
Tell him what?
Who's going to win the next race?
But how should I know? Oh, of course, yes, the card. Oh, now, let me see now. Yes, oh, yes. The next race will be won by Cotton Wool and Madagascar.
Both?
But it says so on the card.
I think it means it'll be a very close race, so back them both.
You can't do that.
Well, why not?
The odds, Judge, the odds. Cotton Wool's at evens and Madagascar's 5-4. No, for a race of this description, I should choose something like, let me see, what about Roman Tour? Quite promising. That's the one, Judge, Roman Tour. But I ought to warn you about one thing. There are only 6 horses in the race,
and that may mean it isn't properly run. If that happens, it does sometimes enable a horse which isn't really a stare to win.
A horse like Madagascar, for
could
example?
Be. Or cotton wool. Quite possible. But Roman Tar's the horse for my money. Or would be if I were a betting man. But after all, my horse lost in the first race, so it's almost bound to win in this one.
Well, thank you, Trent, thank you. I can't pretend you've convinced me, but I lost when I took Thursby's advice, so this time I follow yours. This time I want to back it for a place as well.
They're off to a good start, but the pace is slow. Yes, a very slow gallop. Nobody seems to want to make the run. They've been 2 furlongs, and it looks more like a funeral than a horse race. The crowd seems to think so, too. Ah, now somebody's lighting it up a bit. I think it's Roman Tour. Yes, it is Roman Tour. He's going for the front, but still not very fast. Half a mile, and they're still crawling.
That's most unfortunate.
You mean that your horse is not likely to win now, Trent?
I'm afraid it's possible. I did warn you it might happen if the race wasn't truly run.
Well, they all started together.
That isn't what I mean, Judge. The pace isn't fast enough. No test for us there.
Madagascar coming up at the third place. Roman Tour's under pressure now. Cotton Wool going to the front. Yes, it's Cotton Wool with Madagascar moving up to challenge Roman Tour. Roman Tour's baby. It's Cotton Wool now from Madagascar. Madagascar on the far rails, closing the gap. Coming into the last furlong, it's still Cotton Wool and Madagascar together. Nothing to choose between them. Both horses under pressure. Cotton Wool on the stand side, Madagascar on the far side. Staying up between them as they come up to the post. Madagascar maybe a nose ahead. No, it's Cotton Wool. No, Madagascar passing the post. It could be either of them. It's anybody's guess. We'll just have to wait for the judges to see.
Here is the result of the last race. First, Dead Heat. Number 3, Cotton Wool, and number 4, Madagascar. Third, number 5, Roman Tour.
Judge McLaren, if only you'd taken Roger's advice.
Well, never mind, I backed Roman Tour for a place, and it came in third.
Sorry, Judge. I'm afraid you've lost £2 this time.
What?
Well, they don't pay place money on the third when there are only 6 runners.
Well, look, why didn't you tell me so before the race?
You didn't ask me.
Well, Thursby, you have to say you put my money on. Why didn't you tell
me? I didn't know.
But you knew it was between Cotton Wool and Madagascar, didn't you, darling? And they both won.
Only because the pace was too slow. Otherwise, Roman Tour would have won, wouldn't he, darling?
Sally, come here. I've got to talk to you.
Now, Roger, we'll be the party.
The next race is another sprint, Judge, 6 furlongs. And this is where statistics come in. Fairview failed to win over 5 furlongs.
Yes, we noticed that.
Now, this horse, Toothy Look, has very similar breeding. By Denturius out of a Panorama mare.
And I suppose Toothy Look's never won a race either.
Quite right, first.
How many times has it tried?
That's the point, 5 times. The same as Fairview. Now, it's statistically impossible for both horses to fail on the same day, let alone the same meeting. It can't be done.
But for my part, I shall go with the majority this time and attempt to recoup my losses by putting £5 on the favourite.
Blue Boar? Oh, if you insist, Judge, but you'll regret it.
Under starter's orders, and they're up, and all off together for a good start.
You see, Miss Mannering, no WRS this time, statistically impossible.
The favourite's well placed. Yes, there's the favourite, Blue Boar, tucked in on the rails, passing the 3 furlong mark now with Black Tapes in the lead, then Sabre, then Blue Boar, and Penelope. Penelope's there, they're all there, except Toothy Look. Toothy Look's the back marker, but not by much, anyone could win.
Can't lose, statistically.
No, it isn't. Blue Boar's making his run now. He's coming through. It's the favourite. He's just taken the lead, coming to the post now. And the favourite wins. Blue Boar from Black Tape with Sabre in third place.
Impossible.
You are clever, Judge McLaren. Roger, take the judge's ticket and go and collect his winnings.
And don't forget the stake money.
No hurry. You know, Harry, they won't pay out till the numbers go up on the board.
What do you mean by that, Trent?
The official result, Judge. They put the numbers up on the board and call it over the loudspeaker.
The result of the last race. First, number 3, Toothy Look. Second, number 10,
what did I say?
Black
Toothy Look didn't win.
Third, number 7, Sabre.
I did not. They're the judge of the race.
Oh, Judge.
But how could he?
Well, the colours are very similar, and the numbers, 3 and 8.
There'd be an objection, surely.
Well, in any other race, there would be. There can't be in this one. It's statistically impossible. It's no good the crowd carrying on like that. The judge's decision is final.
Well, I think it's a scandal. I mean, I've always heard that racing is a crooked game.
Now I know it.
Nothing crooked about it. The judge made a mistake, that's all. It must happen sometimes. Judges are only human.
Well, people can appeal from my mistakes.
Not always, Judge. There are cases, aren't there, when your decision is final and conclusive. Take, for instance, the case...
Trent, if you don't mind, I won't do that, no. I've already taken more than enough for this afternoon. I really do think so. So good day to you all.
Goodbye, sir. I suppose £5 is quite a lot to lose on his salary.
He lost 8 altogether. Your mind suggesting this. Sally, I'll take you home now.
But, Roger, what about me?
You're with dear Henry.
Come here a minute, darling. Have you forgotten my uncle?
Your uncle, him and his marked card, fat lot of good that did. I was willing with that judge yesterday. Tomorrow I shall get stick from him just as much as Trent and lose the case into the bargains. So that'll be that with Uncle Alf. Goodbye, Joy. We'll be seeing each other again. Bye, Henry.
One moment, Thursby. A word with you.
Haven't you done enough with words for one day?
Look, it occurs to me that we're both in for a rough passage tomorrow.
Now he tells me.
Well, that judge will need very delicate handling. We must talk about it.
All right, if you insist, but not here and not now. Sally, are you ready?
Yes, Roger, if you say so.
Silence in court. Snow and
Hardcastle are heard. Yes, well now. Where were we, Mr. Thursby?
Last time I had the pleasure of seeing Your Honour, we were at the finish.
Yes, but... Try and behave yourself, will you, Mr. Thursby?
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honour.
You can't have been very long at the bar, but you should know by now how to behave in court.
£8 off a month.
What did you say there, Mr. Thursby?
I made a confidential observation to my learned friend, Your
Well,
Honor.
They don't let there be any more of them. Well, Mr. Thursby, I ask you again, where were we?
Well, Your Honor, wherever we were, I'm happy to tell Your Honor that you will no longer be troubled with this case. My learned friend and I have agreed that discretion is the better part of valor.
Are you telling me that you've settled the case?
Yes, Your Honor, with the circumstances it seemed prudent.
And yesterday was completely wasted, was it?
Not statistically, Your Honor.
Just be quiet, Mr. Clare. Just keep quiet. Complete waste of time. I might have been trying other people's cases and save myself a good deal of personal expenditure. The Treasury doesn't pay such expenses, you know.
Shit. Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What was that?
Your Honor, with the greatest respect, my learned friend and I will be happy to contribute to those expenses.
How dare you, Mr. Trent?
It seemed to me only reasonable that my learned friend and I should contribute. If I have offended Your Honour or hurt Your Honour's pride, I humbly apologize.
I apologize too, Your Honour.
What for, Mr. Thursby?
For thinking along the same lines, Your Honour.
Well, fortunately, one doesn't have to apologize for one's thoughts, Mr. Thursby. If one did, Mr. Trent. If one did. Mr. Thursby, I'm not aware that I've said anything very funny at all. I mean, why are you grinning at me?
Well, it's not so much of a grin, Your Honour, more of a sort of, toothy look.
All right. All right, that'll do, Mr. Thursby, that'll do. Archer, would you call the next case, please?
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Blagrove, Terence Alexander, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, the judge, John the Measurer, Trent, Richard Wattis, the racing commentator, Malcolm Hayes, everyone else, Michael Kilgareth. Statistics was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.